Could we read firstly in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Dost thou not know, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, nor tireth. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to him that hath no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and shall tire, and the young men shall stumble and fall. But they that wait upon Jehovah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not tire. They shall walk and not faint. And in the first epistle of John, the first epistle of John and the first chapter and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My children, in these things I write to you in order that you may not sin. And if anyone sin, we have a patron with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, but not for ours alone, but also for the whole world. And finally, just in the book of the Acts in chapter 7, so just starting reading at the end, so just after Stephen has been giving an account to those that he's speaking to of how God has dealt with them, and how they have not responded. In verse 54 of chapter 7 of Acts, and hearing these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed their teeth against him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, having fixed his eyes on heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Lo, I behold the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and held their ears and rushed upon him with one accord. And having cast him out of the city, they stoned him. And the witnesses laid aside their clothes at the feet of a young man called Saul. And they stoned Stephen, praying and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And having said this, he fell asleep. I just have been struck recently of the confidence that we can have in God. And I'd just like to speak, if I may, a little tonight around some of the things that can encourage us from these scriptures, all centering around the work of the Lord Jesus. But firstly, just this scripture in Isaiah came to my attention before, just thinking of the one who is over all. We have a God who made this world, who made you and I. Although there is some disputes in the world in general, reading the scriptures gives you a very clear message. Firstly, that there is a God. And secondly, about the nature of this God. He is great and he is powerful. As I said before, he created this world. He created the many intricacies of it. He created the universe and the vast expanse of the stars. And he created you and me. Elsewhere we're reminded that his thoughts are so far above our thoughts. But the beautiful thing is that he is accessible to us. It's not just some distant great being that we can maybe marvel at. But this is a God who, well, firstly, fainteth not nor tireth. But if we look on, it's a God that gives strength. A God that wants to have to do with us. And that is something that's so remarkable to me. That's this God who is so great. Regards me, regards you. You are important to him. And this scripture is actually just one that encourages through, just generally throughout. Speaking of the resource of God that will be directed to each one of us. This is what God wants to do for us. There is so much more, of course. I cannot really go into what God wants to do for us, because there's too much for me to really pick up on. But this just struck me that, as we'll come to see later, we cannot do anything for ourselves. Yet there is this resource from God. And just led on to the scripture in John, because here it lays it out very clearly for us. So moving from the view of this God that we have to deal with, this God who created the world, the God who created mankind, the God who wanted mankind to be in his presence. He wanted Adam there in the garden. He came down in the cool of the day to commune with man. He wanted to be known. But as we, I hope, all well know, that was not the case. In that case, man was not in a position to be in the presence of God. Having just committed the first sin of disobedience, man and his wife hid themselves. And even today, that reverberates throughout everything we see. And this leads on to the instability of the present world. I mean, just take the political upheavals we've been having recently. The world is not settled. Even our own country is not settled. Although outwardly it seems to be a place of peace, you see many disturbing reports. And ultimately, we have to come down to there's nothing that we can rely on. There is actually, just bringing to mind, in the Old Testament, there was something said to one of the kings, talking about relying on Egypt, leaning on a broken reed, just leaning on the things of this world. It will break and pierce your hands. We were talking a bit about that this afternoon. How there are God's many and Lord's many in the world. And our attention too, it's important to remind ourselves, is that our attention was brought to the scripture that says, children, keep yourselves from idols. That's a continual difficulty in the world. There are many things that appear good to distract us. There are many things that appear strong that we want to rely on. But ultimately, we come down to what we have in John. This is something we can rely on. Something that's stable where everything else is not. Firstly, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I say firstly because this is the way that we have to come before we can appreciate anything else. And the beauty of the gospel is that this can be proclaimed today. It's something that's been available. In fact, with all the sacrifices in the Old Testament looking on, it has in type been available to all mankind. Firstly, looking on to when it would be achieved, and now looking back to when it was achieved. This one sacrifice that is for all mankind. Because if you remember again in the Garden of Eden, there were coats of skin brought in that, as we're often taught, reminds us of the shedding of blood and the death that had to come in order that they might be covered in the presence of God. Because Everything has to be atoned for. And the sad truth, as we know in the gospel, is that I cannot atone for myself. You cannot atone for yourselves, let alone anybody else. But yet, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is something that can atone for us. This is what God required. We were remembering earlier today the perfection of the Lord Jesus. Because this is the one thing that pleased God. We read in the Gospels the pathway of the Lord Jesus. The one who came to this earth specifically to die for us. Because this is the only thing that in the sight of God will wipe away our sin. As I was saying before, God is righteous, God is holy. God cannot just forget sin. He can forgive it, but only because there is the blood of Jesus. But also, if we just look on in chapter 2, this is particularly what brought me to this scripture. This is another encouraging scripture for us throughout our lives. It applies to us both coming to be saved, but also continually afterwards, as the Lord would keep us close to him. If anyone sin, we have a patron with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours alone, but also for the whole world. He is available to everyone, and he is available always. And that is one of the things we can rely on, that now, in the presence of God, Jesus is there. He who once died on Calvary, he who once shed his blood, he who, when wicked men laid their hands on him and put him on the cross, did not retreat back into heaven, but stayed, but gave up his life. Because he knew that this was necessary. But after that, let us never forget, he went into death, he shed his blood, but he was raised. And this is one of the beautiful things about Christianity. One of the things that sets it apart from anything else is that we have Jesus living and present for us now. It is something which is active for us. And just think of it. For all the wrong that we do, and there are many things that we do, even if we don't intend to, even if we don't set out to do wrong, it's just in our heart. And some things we're just too weak to stop. But Jesus is there. He is able to intercede for us. He's able to bring what he has prepared in our place. Now remember the first few lines. These things I write to you in order that you may not sin. Of course, it's not a license to sin, the fact that we're forgiven. But nonetheless, we have a patron with the Father, and we can always cling to that. And that is something that is available to everyone who believes in Jesus. So everyone who has had their sins forgiven, everyone who has come to Jesus and repented, has confessed their sins to him, the fact they can do nothing, the fact that he is their saviour, just accepting that is all that was necessary. But then throughout our lifelong pathways, we always have his presence too. And that is a blessed comfort, something we can rely on. And that is just why I read in Acts as well. This is actually where I started in just thinking about, because this is what just started me thinking around the confidence that we can have. Because reading this account of Stephen, we can see one who did have his confidence in God, who did have his trust in Jesus, and he was able to hold that all the way through the adversity that was here, all the way to death. He would not let go of the confidence that he had. I have to ask myself if I would be able to go to these lengths. And it's something I struggle to answer. I should be able to say I can. But maybe I just need to be closer to Jesus to be able to have the confidence that we see here in Stephen. He was able to speak to those who were accusing him, knowing what they had only recently done to his Lord. And when they react badly, when they do not repent, but instead come at him, all he needs to do is look to heaven. He can see his Redeemer there, sees Jesus standing there. And indeed, even cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Echoing the words of his Saviour on the cross when he was there, when he too did not condemn those who were putting him there, even though he could have. Stephen following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. I don't know how much more I can say about it, just to encourage us all in our support and our confidence in the work that our Lord Jesus has done, that we can stand before God in judgment, or rather not have to stand, but have our sins completely out of sight. But then throughout life too, can we just lean on him? And can we, like Stephen was able to do, rely on God for everything? It's a continual test to us. It's a continual challenge to us. And I don't pretend that I'm any better than anyone else. But it's available for us all. And as we read in the first scripture in Isaiah, it doesn't necessarily rely on our strength, on our ability, on our readiness. Because if we rely on God, says here, he will supply. He will give us the strength we need to carry on. May we just all be encouraged by thinking of the great things that God has done for us, how the Lord Jesus is ever present for us. And if you don't know what it is, there's still a time to turn to Jesus and find out for yourself how much there is to rely on, and how we can keep on learning all the way. May the Lord bless the word for his name's sake. Amen.